Welcome back to the Beyond the Check podcast. I am Rashawn Parker. And if you have not done so yet, please go check out my television series, Beyond the Check Worker Own Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. There are two seasons of it, and all the chef owners are fantastic. The restaurants are amazing, and the food is delicious, so I highly recommend that you go watch that. My guest today is Saswita Veganosaurus. She is coming to me from India, and she is a holistic chef and podcaster. And what is the name of your podcast?
It's called The Feel Good Factor.
It's called The Feel Good Factor, and I feel good already just meeting you.
Thanks, Rashawn.
Good evening. It's evening over there, yeah?
Yeah, it is. It's a little past 7:30 in the night.
Ah, it's morning here, so good evening to you and good morning to me.
Good morning to you, yeah. Is that coffee?
It is coffee. Iced coffee.
All right.
First cup of the day.
I just finished my, so I do tea in the evenings and I finished my tea about an hour ago.
Oh, lovely. So you're feeling relaxed and at peace.
Yeah, at peace.
Very nice. Well, would you like to tell me a little bit about yourself? Like, where did you start cooking and where was your inspiration?
Sure. So, you know, I've been vegetarian all my life because in India, that's pretty common. Most families do tend to be vegetarian. It's a cultural thing, nothing ethical. But then in 2003, I found out about the horrors in the dairy industry. And I didn't want to be a part of that anymore. So I went vegan. And when I went vegan, I thought I had to give up everything. I thought, okay, no more ice cream for me, no more cake. And that's it. Life's going to get boring. But then I discovered the amazing world of vegan food. I started. So my chef's journey began because I started cooking for myself, baking, you know, experimenting with all these ingredients. And it was so amazing that put me on the path to becoming a chef. So I've been cooking since 18 years now, you know, being a vegan. And I have a blog where I share all my cooking experiments. And for about 7 years, I ran India's first vegan restaurant, which we closed, unfortunately, in Jan because of the pandemic. But it's been a great journey.
That's awesome. So literally discovering how to make your own vegan food is what really made you a chef. I'm starting. I want to go down this path as well. Like I've been trying to cut meat out of my diet for years and failing miserably.
I think the world's changing now, though, so you probably have more tastier alternatives available, which will make it easy for you.
I'm hoping so. My key is to, I have to make my wife like it. So if I can make her like it, then I will by default probably enjoy it. And then,
cool.
But it's hard to try to start, you know. So how did you, like, so you talked about ice cream, like you weren't going to be able to have ice cream. And so how did you replace, like, the ice cream?
So, you know, I was more than ice cream. It's cake, chocolate cake that I craved most. That's my favorite dessert even today. I know, boring. It sounds chocolate cake, but it's the best thing ever. So that's the first dessert that I started experimenting with. And then, you know, while I was looking up recipes, I found a couple of cookbooks. And there was, believe it or not, just one website which had vegan recipes, like at least what I could discover back then. It was called veganfood.net, and that's about it, you know. Like I didn't find other websites. So it's amazing to see the change now with the blogs and the recipes. So I started with that, and since I was looking up recipes, I realized I could actually make my own ice cream at home. And then I did a little more research and I realized that actually some ice cream brands did exist, which were vegan. I was living in New York at the time, and there was a brand called Turtle Mountain.
A band?
Yeah, the most amazing. Yeah, a brand. An ice cream brand. and they had the most amazing chocolate Rocky Road ice cream that was vegan, and it was great. So yeah, and you know, it just opened up. That's it, the whole world.
That's awesome. So you also do like holistic like life coaching or
business coaching, actually.
Business coaching?
Because, you know, as I was saying, I ran India's first vegan restaurant. So back when we started, we really didn't have others doing the same thing. It was a little lonely. And we had to actually, you know, break the myths surrounding vegan food and make people see that it's also cuisine. You don't have to be vegan to eat vegan food and enjoy it. And we did a lot of work that way. So having built a business from scratch, having... I had no background in the restaurant industry before I did that. But, you know, I learned so much on the job that now there are so many new vegan businesses coming up and I really want to help them. And I want them to, like, take the escalator instead of climbing the stairs, you know, shorten that learning curve. So I do holistic vegan business coaching.
Cool. You really do just dive in there and just figure it out when you want something, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Then you can help people, you know, take the elevator, as you say. You had to take the stairs, right? But at least an escalator at the very least.
Yeah.
Oh, so what are some of your, like, favorite vegan dishes that you've come up with?
Well, you know, to eat on a regular basis, I like my traditional South Indian food. So I'm in the south of India. I live in Bangalore and I love the food I grew up eating. And a lot of it is vegan by default. There's some dairy in some of the dishes which can either be eliminated or replaced. So I like to cook and I like to eat South Indian food a lot. But I also love to explore cuisines from all over the world. As long as it's vegan, I'll eat it. You know, I'm very open. I'm not fussy about the ingredients. I like to try things. So when I cook, I do fusion.
Okay.
I don't follow. Since I didn't become a chef in the normal route of going through, you know, hotel
culinary school,
etc. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't do that, right? So what happens is I don't have any kind of restriction in my mind. If someone says, oh, strawberry and garlic don't go together, I'm like, why not? Let me try. <You know>? So I'm very adventurous. And yeah, not all of them turn out great, but a lot of, you know, incredible stuff turns out, which you wouldn't even expect those flavors together. It's beautiful and fun.
Could you give me an example of like one of the most out there combinations of things you put together? Like, I heard you say strawberry and garlic and you're like,
no, I haven't tried that yet. It's a recent challenge that I have accepted. I'm going to try it at some point.
There must be a way. I can see it. I can see that there's a possibility there somehow.
yeah, right. I'm glad you agree. I'm so glad you. I mean, I can picture it becoming a beautiful, like a strawberry sauce reduction, savory reduction with garlic in it.
Yeah. Maybe sweet potatoes and, like, you know, it could work.
So one of the really weird, in quotes, out there combination was a dish that I came up with was a savory ice cream. So I made it with, you know, chili and tamarind. Tamarind, mm-hmm. You are aware of tamarind?
Yeah? I'm aware
of
tamarind.
So tamarind juice and chili. And, you know, it was actually more like a sorbet than an ice cream, but it was a savory one.
Yeah, a little spice.
And I made it this, and spice and salt and all of that. And then I took it to my restaurant and I gave it to my chefs and they're like, Mom, what have you created? they couldn't believe I'm giving them a spicy, because they're like ice cream and they take a bite and it's like spicy.
Did they like it?
Some of them did, but most of them didn't. It was too much of a, you know, too much of a gap for them to actually correlate spicy and ice cream.
The cognitive dissonance of the ice cream itself was just couldn't compute.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. So I started, so I think in America, the way that we try to move off of our meat diet is by replacing the hamburger with something else that is exactly like a hamburger. You know what I mean? It's because we can't...
Like Beyond Meat, right?
Yeah, it's because we like trying that ice cream, we can't discern that if we just sat down and ate this plate of vegetables or a combination of, you know, not crunched into this patty to look like a burger, then somehow we can't eat it, you know? And I'm trying to figure out ways to... And I think that's a good stepping stone, right? Like, because, yeah, you know, if you have to have a gateway, then, you know, you have to have a gateway. But yeah, everything is so actually delicious. And I just watched this documentary yesterday about how, you know, just meat being so manly in America, right? Like,
that trope still exists? Like,
breaking that stigma, and this guy took all these sports dudes into his office, and he like did this experiment on their penises to see if like if they when they ate more healthy if they were more virile, right? And they were. And it was just watching like their manhood just get flipped, right? to like, oh, so actually, if I'm a vegan, I'm way more manly. And so,
it's you know, people are doing all kinds of creative things to break these myths and misconceptions, right? And when someone does something like this, everyone's going to remember it.
Yeah. Right? And I think it takes like those big, ridiculous steps sometimes to make a change in people's minds, you know, if it comes down to just your ego being like, oh, well, I'm a vegan, so I can, you know, I can go longer.
I would like to think that going vegan makes you probably like, you know, kinder, more compassionate, probably not as much, you know, maybe it helps the ego also go down. I hope that happens.
So when I eat meat on my show, like, and my mother always pounded this into my head, she's an herbalist, and I mean, she's not a vegan, she's not even a vegetarian, but she always would, you know, she would thank even the vegetables, you know, at dinner, right? Like, to make sure you thank your food. And so when I do eat meat on the show, I'm always like, you know, thank you, little veal, for whatever.
Well, if you're thinking of that, what I suggest is you actually picture the little baby cow in your head, and that's going to help you switch for sure.
Oh, yeah, I know. As I walk through the grocery store, and it's like, no, not a little piggy. I don't want to eat you. Mm-hmm. You're too cute and friendly and smart. And that is, you know, I mean,
they're smarter than dogs.
No, they're smarter than dogs. Yeah. Yeah. But that was my initial drive was the cruelty and just, you know, animal care. And like, I just don't want to hurt the animals, and not the health reason, right? The health reason is secondary. Or is secondary to the attempt and perpetual attempt. which, you know, if you care about the other living things, it's really easy to make to change, as opposed to just doing it because of health, right? If you actually care, and that's where the compassion is.
I agree with you. Because, you know, when you're doing it for someone else versus for your own self, when you do it for yourself, you can cheat. You kind of allow yourself to cheat, right?
Right.
I mean, how many of us are really strictly disciplined and healthy? But when you're doing it for a cause that is outside of you, it kind of keeps you there. However, that being said, I know many vegans who went plant-based for health reasons. And then, you know, they started researching on the compassion, the cruelty and all that. And they stuck on because of that. So it doesn't matter how you get in. The doorway doesn't matter as long as, you know, you inform yourself about all of it and stick to it.
it's the destination and the journey.
Yeah. True.
So let's talk a little bit about how you help the businesses.
Sure. Yeah. So
yeah, You got
I'm,
this.
I'm you know, I'm also a spiritual person, apart from being vegan. Spiritual, not religious. More like, you know, the universe and Reiki and energy and healing and all of that, right?
I'm with you.
So you're with me. You I'm said your you. Mom's a herbalist, so I'm assuming you're kind of exposed to all of that, right? So for me, I like to bring, you know, these two are so important in my life, being vegan and being spiritual. They've helped me become a more happier, joyful person. So I'm like, okay, I want the whole world to be that too, right? So whatever I do, whether it's a business coaching session or whether it's a workshop where I'm teaching entrepreneurs various aspects of running a business, I always include the spiritual thing into it. I always either start with a meditation or encourage them in these self-care practices, things like that.
Yeah.
That's why I call myself a holistic, business, vegan business coach.
That makes sense. So if you're going to run a business, you probably should be able to be at peace and run your own systems first, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, even at the restaurant, when we had the restaurant, I would make my whole team sit around once a week and we would meditate and we would visualize and things like that. It was always nice.
That is very nice. I'm trying to get my wife to wake up and we're going to meditate every morning. But yeah, schedules. But having that balance, you know, just in and of yourself, you know, it's like you can't love somebody else until you love yourself.
Absolutely.
So yeah. you have to get your own shit together before you can put up with other people's. Oh man. So how many your restaurant is it permanently closed or are you just
Yeah. So we kind of held through 2020. We kind of tried to manage things and it did come through. But then a lot of my team, they were from other parts of India and the family was getting worried that they were away. And then, you know, we sent them back home to be safe and all that. And it didn't make sense. So we closed the restaurant permanently. But what happened was the chef I was running with the head chef of the restaurant, he asked if he asked all of us who owned it. We were a few of us who were partnered together. If he could just, since we were closing the restaurant anyway, if he could just take it forward, like if he could just have the brand, mm-hmm. and he would just take it forward as a cloud kitchen. And we were like, yeah, because we want, you know, for us, the restaurant had to exist. It's such a beautiful thing. So we're like, whoever takes it forward, no problem. We just gave it to him. So he's doing it as a cloud kitchen right now. Maybe a few years down the line when things are safer, you know, where mm-hmm. where things are more stable, he will start the restaurant again. Yeah, but I don't intend to go back to it anytime soon. I'm enjoying the teaching process so much more now.
Well, it can be a headache, yeah. Running a restaurant. I don't know why anybody, brave souls, all of you.
You know, when you get into it, you don't think... You think it's so much fun. It looks so cool from the outside. It looks very glamorous and like, oh, wow, I get to cook food and then I get to serve people and chat with them and laugh and uh-huh. everybody will have a great... But there's so much behind the scenes, so much work and so much of... I mean, as beautiful as it is, it's also stressful. There's uh-huh. so much of that. And I only learned that after having started to run the restaurant. I was deep in the middle of it. I'm like, oops, what did I do?
What are all these dirty dishes and what does this food cost and why do my deliveries keep not coming?
Thankfully our team was amazing, great set of guys, and all of them, they were respectful, they were quite young, you know, just most of them starting off on their new jobs, because we want a big fancy place. So we didn't hire anybody from the mainstream, chefs who are trained. We trained them ourselves. So they learned everything from scratch from us. So because of that, you know, we were able to, it was more like a school, you know, or a college, you could say, for them. So team was very responsible, and that was a blessing that helped actually make things smooth, over the years.
Very nice. So if you Okay, so I don't know. My wife is so super picky. She is the most ridiculous picky person in the world, which is why I drag her around and make her eat things that she wouldn't normally eat. So if you had to come up with a dish that I could make her, and let me just run through some things that she won't eat. She doesn't like Indian food, so no curries. She thinks she's allergic to rice, which I'm pretty sure she's not, but she says she is.
Possible.
She does love most vegetables.
Okay.
So yeah, I got that criteria. What can I make her?
Well, you know what you were saying, right? About making something that's familiar to you, as close to what you're used to as possible. So that's a great way to begin, and you could definitely make a really nice burger. Now, what does she feel about beans?
She doesn't like beans either. This is my
She doesn't like
problem.
beans. All
I
right. So,
know.
but what if she doesn't like beans as beans, but what if she didn't, in the sense of if she couldn't say they are beans, like in the sense of she may know, but she wouldn't feel it. Is that okay? Or is that also?
I think it's okay. She's eaten a black bean. She's taken a bite of a black bean burger and acted like she liked it once.
Yeah, because bean burgers are, you know, easy, right? You can do.
And I tricked her one time into eating vegan spaghetti because I took vegan sausages and just like crumbled it up and then sauteed it and put it in spaghetti. And she ate it up. And the whole time I was just like, "You like that? She was good." It's like, that was not
Good.
me.
That's
That was not me. And she's like,
not
"Shut
me.
up."
Awesome. Love that. You know, this is what I tell everybody who wants to transition to go vegan. I'm like, you learn to cook because then you can feed your entire family vegan food. First feed them, then tell them it's vegan or, you know, vegetarian, and they'll be like, what? You know? So it's important to cook. Well, you know, you could make a really have you tried the commercially available patties like Beyond Burger?
I question like I okay, so here's my dilemma. Like Beyond Meat, right? Like it's not good for you, right? But at the same time, it's not coming from a cow, right? So that's good, but at the same time, it's not really good for you either, right?
So the thing with this is, of course, you can't be eating it every day, right? That's terrible if you do that because it does have a lot of things added into it. However, as a transition food, I would say comparably, if you look at everything that is in a cow that's not good for you, you know, especially starting with the cholesterol and all those things, right? And then
The
since
heme
you
and
are,
all,
you know,
yeah.
and since you are connected with spirituality, also the energy that has gone into it, in you know, that has come from the. So when you compare that to like a Beyond Burger once in a while, just to transition, especially like I said, you know, if it because I've heard it tastes very close to meat. So I wouldn't be a good judge of it because I've never actually had meat. I've only tried mock meat in my life, right? I'm great at dairy
I
alternatives. I
hope
can tell you, like.
my goal is when I come back is to never eat meat and to never smoke a cigarette next time. And that way, if I can just remember that from this time, the next time I will not do
Just took a puff of your cigarette and you're
that.
saying
Right, because this time I'm still stuck here. But next time, I'll hopefully know
Next time.
better.
You know what you could try? I don't know, you probably have already, but there are, you know, for example, have you heard of an organization called PCRM? It's
No.
called Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org. And those people, they do this 21-day vegan challenge. So you're only doing it for 21 days, and they give you meal plans, prep
Oh.
instructions, etc. So then, you know, you have all this support and you can try it. And there's another one called Veganuary, which every January alone they do vegan. Like, you know, they encourage people like, okay, try vegan for a month. And the idea behind all these is to show you that it's actually possible, actually easy, actually tasty. And a lot of people don't go back, you know, after that. So, and in our minds, just saying that, oh, I'll only do it for 3 weeks or only a month, it's actually easier to do than when you think, oh, no, I can never, you know, have this in my life again.
Funny story. I actually convinced her yesterday that I decided I was going to do it for a month, for all of October, because I'm going to be sober October, and I'm going to go vegan for October too. And so she was like, no. And I'm like, okay, what if we just do it for a week? And she's like, all right, a week. So I got her on the week. So I've hooked her into the 1 week. So we'll see how that goes.
Now you got to make all kinds of delicious food, all kinds of replacements. Just feed them to her and she'll be like, I'm never going back.
I'm going, but again, I have all those things to work around. If she liked beans, so much easier. She would eat rice, so much easier.
No, you don't have to do just beans. So I'll tell you, when the burger, you know, the burger places. So burger wasn't a common thing while we were growing up. The fast foods came in like much later on. So the burger patty that was introduced in India in the initial years before meat was a little bigger, because most people back then, vegetarianism was much, much more common. And now, yeah, people do consume a lot more meat. But so back then, the burger patty was a potato-based one. So that is still something people still love. So we still make potato patties. So you just take, you know, your cooked potato and mash it up roughly. So there's some chunks and some. So you don't use the, you know, like an electric masher or anything, beat or anything.
Use the old handheld one.
Yeah, either handheld or even with your hands. Like you mash it up, right? Then you. So you add whatever you want, like whatever flavors, you know, if whatever herbs your wife likes, pepper, salt, whatever it is you want on it. And then, you know, you can just pat it up. And if you want to make it super healthy, you can bake it. Or you can dip it in breadcrumbs and stuff and fry it.
Fry it in olive oil. That's still healthy-ish.
There we go. Whichever way, it works well. You just need to make sure it's holding together and, you know, don't deep fry it because it may come apart. Use shallow fry it. Maybe use a little bit of corn flour to mix it together so it binds.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out yum. And it's so nice to eat just by itself. You don't even need to put it in a burger, but you can with your tomato, lettuce, all those things.
Yeah, it's like a potato cake burger. That's what we call it. So like we'll take leftover mashed potatoes, right? And just bake them into a little like patty and fry it in a pan and ketchup, right?
Yeah, ketchup, yes. See? There we go. You put ketchup in. She won't even know it's beans if you make beans. Ketchup, barbecue sauce.
Uh-huh.
Okay, how? I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but how is she about tofu?
You know, I don't think she's ever really had any tofu that was any good.
Okay. Yeah, so the thing about tofu is it's the tofu by itself, it's nothing, right? It's just plain. It's a canvas. So it's all about the flavors and what you marinate it in. So you could put whatever sauces you would probably marinate your meat in. Mm-hmm. You put that into the tofu, let it marinate overnight. Mm-hmm. And then just pick up the pieces and bake it or grill it. Oh my God, it's heaven. It's so tasty because it takes up all the flavors.
All the flavor.
Yeah, so that's great inside a burger too, but just... you can cube it in.
You've been very helpful.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing back from you about how any of these turn out.
I'm going to let you know. Hopefully I'll make it definitely through the week. I'm going shopping. I'm going to go grocery shopping after this and figure some things out.
Do you have where do you stay? Which city are you in?
I'm in Savannah, Georgia.
So do you have... you know, grocery stores like Whole Foods. Those guys are not everywhere.
Yeah, right?
Trader Joe's similar.
We got everything. Yeah. I wish we had Trader Joe's. We don't have
Trader Joe's is nice too, but Whole Foods is there?
Yeah, we got Whole Foods.
Cool. You just go there and there's so much, you know.
Do you have Trader Joe's?
In India, we don't. But yeah. then the beauty of India... No, we don't have Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. But then I've visited the US so many times. And when, especially when I'm in California, I make sure I always go to Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and pile up on all the yummy stuff that we get there, right? So they have the best vanilla rice milk. It's like, oh my God, you know?
I love Trader Joe's. Anyway.
Have you ever tried Miyoko's cultured butter? Vegan butter.
Say it one more time.
M-I-Y-O-K-O. Miyoko.
Miyoko vegan butter. No, but I'm writing it down.
Ooh, look for that in Whole Foods. So she does this amazing cultured butter. They do cheeses too. So you get that butter, you could probably use that, you know, in your cooking or putting it on the toast and stuff like that. As an alternative.
I'm gonna prank her with vegan cheese and see how it goes. And that might be the best cheese.
Be very careful which cheese you get, because not all of them, you know, the commercial ones are that great.
Right, but Miyoko, so, maybe?
Maybe Miyoko, yeah. I've only tried the butter, but I've heard good things about the cheese. You could do.
I'll let you know.
You let me know, yeah. The Daya is not loved by a lot of people, so probably don't take that one. D-A-I-Y-A, that's the oldest cheese. Yeah. Not a lot of people like it, so.
Nah. Cheese is her favorite. She's like, I'll go vegetarian. I'll do vegetarian, but I'm eating cheese. Like, there's just I
totally get it. maybe next time, sometime when we talk, I'll teach you how to make vegan cheese at home.
Oh,
you can do that. So you can make like a very. It's just cashew milk and cornstarch and nutritional yeast, and you just, you know, mix it all up and cook it, and it comes out all gooey, and you just put it directly on the pizza. It's like all melty and it's so good.
You can make mac and cheese like that too, huh?
Yeah, you can do amazing mac and cheese with that. Yeah.
I'm gonna figure it out. I'm on a mission to figure out how to make amazing vegan dishes, so I can trick my wife into eating food that's good for her. Oh, do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, so I heard you talking about your Amazon show. Tell me a bit about that. Visit different restaurants and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I find chef owners, like, they have to be like chef, they have to like work at the restaurant.
Also be the chef and the owner at the restaurant. Right?
Yeah. They don't have to be the chef. They can like have hired a chef, but they have to at least be there all the time. You know, like they have, you know. Mm-hmm. So if they're the manager and, you know, at the front of the house and they bought a restaurant and, you know, they hired the chef, that's totally fine too. But they have to, you know, be a worker owner. They have to be part. If they're the bartender even of their own restaurant, that's fine. They just have to be the worker owner. But then, yeah, I just find out about their lives and the history of the restaurant, and then they show me how to cook up their dishes, and then I eat them. I take bites of them. We never actually eat anything.
I think once, you know, you go on this journey of being vegan, you can probably find a bunch of vegan restaurants to visit and do the same thing too, you know?
I will. I'm probably going to have to like not be full. I'll have to at least still try things, but for the majority of my regular existence, not so much.
So how did you get into podcasting? I saw that it's fairly new. This show, you might have other shows, I don't know. But how did you get into it?
I did my TV show first, and then I was like, I should probably, I think this would be a good podcast too. It's just talking to, you know, people about the service industry. And so I was like, and so to boost and promote the show and vice versa and back and forth, I decided to start the podcast.
Awesome.
And here we are.
I love this about podcasting. You get to meet interesting people like this, right? Like, you get to really chat with someone, right?
Yeah.
I have such a long conversation with someone, right? on the other side of the world. It is just so nice.
Yeah, it's super cool. Like, I last season, I only did 8 episodes because I ran right into post-production on the show, and so I took the hiatus, and so now the show's out and we're back.
Yay.
and it is like, what got you into decided to start podcasting?
So I was first a consumer of podcasts. I was listening to a lot of them. And there's this one show called Food Heals by Alison Melody. Have you listened to that one?
I have not.
So, you know, when I started listening to her show more and more because I resonated with a lot of what she was covering, it was, though it's called just Food Heals, it's beyond just wellness and health. It's about spirituality, business, all kinds of very, very interesting things. And I was listening to that and I'm like, okay, I want to be like her, you know. So then they announced this this retreat, Food Heals retreat to Italy in 2019. And they'd already done one in 2018, which I'd heard about on the show. So on 2019, I actually went and I got to meet her. I got to meet all of them, hang out. And then after that, I'm like, okay, I got to come back and start my own podcast. And I didn't want to make it only about veganism, though that is like the most passionate thing for me to talk about. I wanted to bring in spirituality, business, feeling good, prioritizing yourself, all of that. And that's how it began in December 2019. And yeah, it's just going on.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it's fun. It's really cool to like meet other people that like care about the same stuff that you do. And you find out about all them and food. I've talked about you a lot. My wife's taking the dogs for a walk. Bye, Jordan.
Ah, okay.
What else do we want to talk about? You have any questions for me? I will say that the easiest thing that I've ever found to keep people vegan is just pasta.
Yeah, it's easy to switch.
It's a pasta.
Yeah, and
pasta.
You can put all the vegetables you like, right? Whatever you want and make it healthy too.
Yeah,
And nutritious. Yeah.
That's my go-to. That's my go-to.
You know what? You were talking about spaghetti and then I realized I actually have a recipe for vegan meatball-y type things that I've, you know, I'm going to send you a link to that. Maybe try that. I think I made it with tofu. This was years ago, but it was quite a hit. I'll send you that.
Awesome. I'll try it. I'll make a video about me trying to make it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. I'd love to watch because
I think I'm going to video blog this whole thing too. Just like, all right, here I go. I'm going to try jackfruit this week too. Like I've never done it. And I've talked about it many, many times. So I'm going to try the jackfruit. You ever cooked with the jackfruit?
No, I'm not too much of a fan of it. So here, the jackfruit as a meat thing is more a recent phenomenon. For us, it's the fruit. Like once it's ripe, we eat it as a fruit. That's how we enjoy the jackfruit here more commonly. I have tried, jackfruit-based dishes, but again, because, you know, I'm not that into mock meats and, meat alternatives, not much of a fan.
I like the jackfruit as jackfruit.
I want to hear. As a fruit, you know?
The way it's supposed to be enjoyed.
Ever since I've gone vegan and discovered cooking, I've realized there's nothing that is supposed to be enjoyed a certain way. Like everything can be done, made into something entirely different. And what blew my mind was the simplest thing. I learned how to make yogurt with peanuts. And then I'm like, oh my God, what? It's so thick and creamy. It's so delicious. it's freaking awesome.
You can make yogurt out of peanuts?
Well, you can make milk out of anything. It's cultured, it becomes yogurt, right? But the thing with peanuts is because it has that much of its own fats.
Mm-hmm.
It's
super oily.
Into a very beautiful, and protein. Because yogurt, very good yogurt, soy is great and peanut is great. The reason for that is because they both have good amount of protein and fats, which work, which feed all the little cultures.
And then feed your body.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I can't, right? I love your limitless imagination. It just sprawls out into all kinds of fun avenues. You'll have to send me the peanut butter yogurt thing too.
The peanut yogurt, absolutely. I'll send you all the links and you can try all of them and like, And I want to hear all the, you know, your responses, how you feel, what you thought, everything. I'm making a list of all the things I'm going to send you.
Are you on Facebook?
No. I quit Facebook a couple of years ago because, I mean, it just got bad with the amount of time. But I'm on Instagram. I'm at Veganosaurus. I'm at Veganosaurus everywhere.
We'll be Instagram friends. We'll be Instagram friends.
Yes. I'm looking forward to watching your posts this week with all your experiments, if you're going to post that on Insta.
That's where it'll be. Awesome. Oh, cool. You want to just give yourself a shout out real quick and tell us where you can listen to your podcast and all that fun stuff?
Sure. You can just go to my website, veganosaurus.com. I'll spell that out, veganosaurus. And you just go to the website and everything is there. Please join my, you know, subscribe to my newsletter if you would like to know, you know, get tips about being vegan, about spirituality, just fun life stuff. I share all kinds of really funny stories from my life, which I don't post anywhere else. So you'll find a link to subscribe to the newsletter right at the bottom on my website.
Well, now I'm super curious to know what all those little stories are that you only post there.
The secret.
we're subscribing. We're gonna go find out. Go to her website, veganosaurus.com. Right?
Yeah, right. Cool. From there you can get to my podcast, my courses, everything's there. It's my home on the internet.
It's her home on the internet. Go check it out. Oh, awesome. It's been so wonderful hanging out with you.
You too, Rishan. Same here. It's such a delight. I've laughed so much. It was like so much fun.
We'll do this again. And I'm going to follow you on Instagram at Veganosaurus.
Yep.
Cool. And make sure you follow me at Rishan Parker or beyondthecheck_ on Instagram. Don't forget the underscore. And awesome. Well, let's hang out again sometime. For sure. And I'm going to let you know how this week goes.
Awesome. That I'm looking forward to hearing. I'll send you the links in a short while.
Cool. Awesome. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. Again, please go watch my show if you haven't already. Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, now streaming on Amazon and Tubi TV. Tubi TV, it's free TV. They should give me $1 every time I say that. But...
Bye.
Bye, darling. Have a great day. Or have a great night. Have a great night.
Yeah, thanks. And you have a great day.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later.